Hey, it's Big Jim O'Brien. Welcome in the garage. Our weekly podcast here. We bring in folks from all over the automotive industry, and I'm really pumped about this one. Mark Schaller, Mustang Marketing Manager, on the phone with us. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good. I'm going to take you to Miller's, and then I'm going to buy a couple burgers, and you're going to give me a bullet Mustang. I think that's a totally fair trade.
That's an absolutely fair trade. I love Miller's, so anytime you want to go, you just let me know.
Oh, see, now what we're doing here, if you don't live here in the Motor City, Miller's just one of those burger joints you got to go to. All they do is they serve everything on wax paper. If you ask for a menu, I'm pretty sure that he'll just throw you out. Although they do have a really good tuna salad, Mark.
You've really gone to Miller's and ordered tuna salad?
I had it once. He made me. Tim behind the bar made me try one, and I'm telling you, it was really good. It was
well, as long as he made you try one,
yes.
I just can't imagine going there and not getting a burger or not getting their onion rings. Both of those are fantastic.
There are certain things in Americana that there's nothing more American than a cheeseburger to me, and there's nothing more American than a Mustang. See where I'm going with this?
I do. That's a good lead-in.
And for you guys to do what you did with the Bullet Mustang as we get ready for the 2019, and we got our price point finally. So, Mark, walk me through this. If I'm going to pre-order one now, what am I paying?
Right now, the starting MSRP, including destination delivery, is $47,495.
You know what, though? That's not bad. I mean, you're talking about 480 horsepower, 420 pound-foots of torque, 5-liter V8. The way you guys have set this thing up as well, the open-air intake. And did you guys take some of the manifold stuff from the Shelby GT350 as well?
We did. We learned a little bit from that program, and that's really what the entire engineering team behind the Mustangs do is we take little bits from what we learn in each program, and we use that to create the next one. And learning from the GT350 program, we were able to, add a different intake on it. You've got an open air box, different throttle body, and essentially you're getting another 20 horsepower out of a Mustang GT. But not only that, you're getting that classic bullet look to it. And if you look at the styling of this particular model and you put it right next to a 68, you have a lot of the same profiles.
You really do.
The slope of the roof, the hood, the front grill. It's amazing. We actually had the opportunity to put one of the 2019 cars right next to the original that was driven by Steve McQueen in the movie. And it's almost a little eerie when you see all the different similarities between the two. It turned out fantastic, and we're really excited to be able to start building this thing come June.
I think it's a great time, too, in the automotive industry, and what is being done acoustically, not acoustically inside the car, but the note of the engine, the way you guys have got this sound. If you're going to bring out a car that celebrates the 50th anniversary of Bullet and you're going to bring back this Mustang, it's got to sound right, or why even try?
That's exactly right. And this car comes standard with our active valve exhaust system, which gives you four different levels. I'm sure people that buy the Bullet will not use quiet all that often.
Mm-mm.
They'll probably use more sport and track, but it has that unique sound to it. Comes standard with the black nitro plate tips. But overall, this car is going to drive by you, and it's going to give you those chills you would expect. And, it's got the look, it's got the sound, it's got the performance. It's a fun-to-drive car. It's not a car for the racetrack. It's a car to be driven around in the streets every day. And, you add the MagnaRide system to it, and I'm telling you what, it's just so much fun to get out there and drive.
Is the stance a little bit higher than a normal Mustang? Is it set up a little bit higher?
No, it actually is not set up a little bit higher. The stance is pretty equal to where we're at with the current performance pack Mustang. So it's very easy to get around town. You have to watch yourself on some really high curbs, but overall,
right,
it's very easy to drive.
What was the reaction like in Geneva?
I wasn't there. I would have loved to. Unfortunately, they didn't approve my travel request to go fly out to Geneva. They had representatives already there, which is too bad. But from what I've read and from what I've heard from those that were there, the reaction was very strong. In fact, I've seen a lot of notes fly by that the demand right now is exceeding what their original expectations would be over in Europe. So I think they're really pleased about this car. This is actually the first truly global performance Mustang that we've built. 2015 was the start when we of the truly global Mustang platform.
Right.
So we started shipping to countries all around the world. We're now up to 146 different countries where we are authorized to sell Mustangs. And this car is the first performance variant that the overseas markets have really had a chance to get. And so they're really excited. We're going to make this car in a right-hand drive as well. So if you're living in one of those countries like Australia where they love their Mustangs and they drive on the other side of the road, this will be the first time that we've actually produced one of these high horsepower Mustangs to go over there.
Talking with Mark Scheller, Mustang marketing manager for Ford. You guys, when you start down, how long ago did this idea come first, like reach a table where someone sat in a room and said, we need to do a 50th anniversary Mustang for Bullitt?
It usually takes a couple of years. This one, probably, I think the idea started even further than that. When we launched the 2015 body style, when we really looked at the fastback profile of the 68 and tried to bring that into a more modern look and feel, I think a lot of people sort of looked around the room and winked at each other and knew that this car would look really good in Dark Island Green. And so we sort of sat on it for a little while, and then eventually, we got around the table and we were looking at what to do next. And this was one of the first things that came to mind. The overall shape of the car really lends itself very well. Taking all the badging off, it's one of those understated performance cars.
Right.
We love our Shelbys and we love, the Buster 2s from the last generation. This one is just a little bit different because it is more about understated performance than it is about overstated performance. And each car has got a different subset of customers that like to drive them. And we felt like this was the right time to do a Bullitt. And then we've announced that starting next year, we'll build a GT500 as well. So it's a good time to be a Mustang fan when you have the options of GT350s, Mustang GTs, Mustang Bullitts, and then GT500s coming back.
Yeah, I'm so confused about what I can and can't say about the GT500. Just suffice to say I was there a couple weeks ago. Okay,
that's the way we like to keep
that's
everybody.
It. Yeah,
slightly
yeah,
off kilter,
yeah,
but
no.
Get excited.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's the damnedest thing. I don't know why you guys did this to me. You show me the car for 2 seconds, and then I can't say anything about it. That was the biggest torture in the world, dude.
It was one of those things that it's actually helpful for our side because then we can at least acknowledge it. Because no matter where I go, no matter what event I go to or which people I talk to, usually one of the first questions I always get is, are you guys going to build a GT500? So at least now I can say yes.
Yeah, I can. And
I just can't tell you anything further than that, other than it will be the most powerful production Ford that we've ever produced, and it'll have over 700 horsepower.
I can say yes, and I saw it. So damn.
Yeah.
The line was damn Gina. The first thing I said, I swear to God, Mark, I went, you guys pulled the thing. I went, damn Gina. That's a hell of a ride. But getting back to the Bullitt Mustang, something I've always been interested in. Sean Kiernan, when did Ford find out that the original Bullitt existed? In the timeline of this whole thing with the 50th anniversary to the movie and this amazing 2019 Bullitt edition that's coming out from Ford, when did you guys find out that Sean had the original one?
So it's actually a really great story. Sean came and reached out to us at Ford Motor Company. This was something that was a surprise to us on the Mustang team. There was always that rumor of, does the car exist? Where is the car? We've actually been really far along on producing the 19 version, not knowing that Sean existed with his car. And we got invited by one of our Mustang enthusiasts. He had worked for Ford Motor Company and now retired. And he reached out and said, you guys really need to take this meeting. And we took the meeting. We all sat around a table at our product development center. Not many of us knew exactly what to expect. And Sean and some of his friends came in, and he just sat there and told us the story about his car and how it had been in the family, and it was a project with him and his dad, and all the different trials that they went through, and how the car moved around a little bit, and his dad passed away, and he really wanted to bring the car back to life, get it up to working order, and reintroduce it to the world because it had sort of been lost for a while. I mean, about 40 years or so, I think it was lost to history. And after he got done telling the story, everybody just sort of had their mouths like slightly open.
That's what I'm wondering, Mark, because you're sitting in that room, probably nobody saying anything other than Sean. You're just looking at him, looking at each other going, is this really happening?
Everybody was absolutely captivated by his story because he's the nicest guy. He's very authentic. And everything he said, it was not the way that the car was sort of lost to history. You could understand it because when something goes wrong with a car, a lot of people have project cars, right? So
sure. When
something goes wrong, oh, it goes in the garage, I want to go fix it. And then something else happens, and I haven't gotten to it yet, I want to go back and get to it. And that's really what happened with this car. And then after his father passed away, it's very emotional for him. And I think he had to take some time, and he couldn't quite, bring himself to start working on the car. And then he got to the point where he knew he had to get it back up and running, really as a tribute to his father. And we just sat in the room and nobody said a word, and everybody was just sort of wide-eyed and captivated. It's one of those kind of stories when you hear him tell it for the first time, you tend to get even a little emotional on your side. You can completely understand where he was coming from and what he was going through. And when he finally got to show that car off and it wasn't a secret anymore, you could just see this big weight get lifted off of him. So it was a fantastic story, and it lined up really well with our introduction. But that just happened by coincidence. That was not something that was planned from the beginning. I'm sure that the 50th anniversary had something to do with it based on the timing, right? Everybody
right.
would love to know about that particular car, but it was not something that we knew about when we started our version of the Bullet. And to have those two cars and to see them side by side, Sean was nice enough to let me sit in his car. And, you know, you just sort of, it feels like, I mean, it's basically 95% original, right? It's got this aura to it, right? You sit in the car and you feel like, wow, you know, Steve McQueen was in this car, you know, 50 years ago filming this movie, and now you get to sit in it. And the little details, like the piece of tape that was on the tachometer to try and keep Steve from blowing up the engine by revving it too hard, you can still see the residue on the tach from that particular piece of tape. So very original, very authentic still. Now that it's up and running and people can get to see it and come out, it's really a fantastic car.
The best compliment I can give you guys, when we went to the Detroit Auto Show, as I walked around during the media day, and I came by and obviously looked at it, took pictures, and looked at the two cars next to each other, went around, and I found myself coming back. Just not consciously, I just had to come back. And we didn't even talk. There were people just staring at the car. And there's something that we talk about cars and the impact they have. And maybe sometimes I think, I'm going to go deep here for a second, Mark. I think sometimes we're too close in Detroit. The emotional connection that we have to cars and movies, and to see that car, that's one of the earliest memories of watching a movie with my dad, of Bullet, and what that car and that chase scene and what that sequence means to us as Americans. Hell, dude. I can play the sound clip on the radio here, just the sound of the Bullet Mustang, and people will call automatically going, oh my God, that sounded so good on the radio. It's car noise. I mean, there's something so viral, so passionate about a Mustang, and you guys have brought it to the forefront with this 50th anniversary and having Sean bring back the original one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a special chase scene that a lot of people have that connection to. And honestly, that's one of the things that I personally love about Mustang, is that even if you have never owned one, there's usually a story in there somewhere where you can draw a connection back to the car. And whether it's a chase scene in a movie, whether it's your neighbor had one, there's always that connection there somewhere. And this car represents that movie as best as we can do it. It gives you that emotional appeal to it. You drive it, it'll put a smile on your face. You almost feel like you're Steve McQueen when you're driving it. But it's a little bit under the radar, but it's got the sound, it's got the power. It's that whole package that if you just want a car to drive around every day and make you feel good, I can't think of a better one to buy.
Well, Mark, please tell everybody in Dearborn, everybody with Ford, you guys are doing it right. I mean, the way the Mustang is presented now, the way it looks, I've got my nephew Ross is a Mustang fanatic, and he's already got his Highland Green from a couple of years ago, and he babies that car. I told him, I said, he just got married, and I said, you got to quit putting so many pictures of your car up and start putting pictures up of your fiance, or you're going to be in trouble. But he,
I hate when that happens. We get blamed for a lot of that.
Dear Ford, quit selling cool cars. I'd like to have my husband back. But you're going to have that next generation. My point was, like, these cars, Mark, are the ones that people are going to wrench on. These are the ones that Ross still tinkers on his car. He's got his Ford racing badge over the on the top of the windshield. I mean, he's always thinking about the exhaust, and you guys do so much with Ford Performance, too, that these cars are the cars you're going to open up the garage door, you're going to put some pads over the wheel wells, and you're going to sit there and tinker on it.
And that's what we hope, right? As we look around in the auto industry today, there's a lot of technology going on. There's a lot of different avenues people are going down. And you know, as younger kids today get their license, it's a little different than maybe when you or I got our license.
Right.
But we still want to be able to inspire the younger generation to be fans of cars, to want to drive the cars, to get excited about them, right? It's not just something from get you from point A to point B. It's got to have that emotional connection to it. And we want you to actually have fun when you drive your car. So that's what goes in every Mustang we make. And everybody on the team, that whether it be an engineer, a designer, somebody in the marketing team, somebody, you know, no matter what, right? Everybody is passionate about this car. They all love to drive them, and that's what helps us kind of keep going every day and put that heart and soul in each car, and hopefully we're doing a good enough job where people get excited and, you know, we keep building Mustangs.
So what's the last thing you want people to know who are listening right now? All the Mustang fans and forums that are listening right now, if you wanted to say something to them, go for it.
Just the fact that, you know, the reason we do what we do is all of our fans out there, and hopefully we're making the cars that they want. And if not, I'm sure they'll let us know. They're a very passionate and vocal group, but hopefully going forward we continue to meet their demands.
Okay, keep doing what you're doing, Mark. It's great talking to you, bud.
Thanks. Have a great day.